نواظ الطاقة. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise be to Allah, and may Allah's peace and blessings be on His last Prophet Muhammad, and on all the prophets, and on all those who follow the path of righteousness until the last day. The topic that we are looking at today is that of the true religion of God. And there is a question mark, which wasn't here, but on the posters that you have seen, there is a question mark here. The true religion of God. We're asking really, you know, what is the true religion of God? And to try to find the answer for that question, we would have to look at the evidence presented by the various religions on a logical basis, not on an emotional basis. We have to put aside our emotions. Why? Because emotions will blind us from the truth. People are following a variety of different religions around the world, very firmly in some cases, based on emotional reasons. The circumstance under which we are born are not something that is in our power to change. We did not decide what circumstances under which we are born, the culture in which we are raised. So whatever religion we are following, this has not been by our choice, fundamentally. It's just the circumstance that we find ourselves in. Now, whether it is a true religion or not, this is going to depend on whether the principles of the religion are correct or whether they are not. And this is how we have to approach religion. Religion being a system of beliefs and practices which define the purposes of our existence and our relationship to higher powers or the higher singular power. Now, all of the religions claim that their way is the only and correct way. This is what we find ourselves standing in front of. I found myself at one point in my life looking around, though I was born a Christian, raised a Christian, and trying to determine for myself what in fact is the correct way that I should follow in my life. And I think each and every one of us at some time has to go over that issue in their mind to be sure that they are in fact following the right path. Now, the length of this lecture will not permit an exposition or explanation of all of the various religions which exist in the world, because there are too many. It's not possible for me to stand here and think that I'm going to explain for you what are the beliefs of all the religions. So, I am basically going to present the Islamic point of view. In the course of discussion after the presentation, it's possible for us to look into some of the other points of view. However, as I said, so that we can keep this lecture presentation within a reasonable amount of time, I intend to present the Islamic argument. Now, the first point of the Islamic argument, and Islam claims to be the true way, the true religion of God, the only way, ultimately, to God, as I said, as do all the other religions. The first point concerning the Islamic claim is that the very name of the religion itself, Islam, it expresses the principle, the fundamental principle, which is the foundation of the religion itself. Islam being submission, submission of oneself to God. Now, Islam claims that this principle of submission is not something which is new. Islam is not a new religion which appeared, you know, 1400 years ago. No. According to the teachings of Islam, Islam appeared with the first man, Adam, who is also considered to be the first prophet. Islam began then with mankind. It was, as I said, the submission to the will of God. Now, the name Islam is not something which people in modern times have, you know, designed. It is a name which exists within the book, the holy scriptures of Islam, which we refer to as the Quran. The name is mentioned there. In the one of the verses of the Quran, we find God saying, "Inna dina inda Allah al-Islam," that verily religion, true religion, in the sight of God is Islam, the submission to the will of God. Now, this name, as I said, is mentioned in the book itself. It is not the name of a person or of a place or a tribe. For example, when we look at the other religions, we find Christianity, which is named after Christ. And Jesus himself never said that my religion, the religion which you, my followers, are to follow, is Christianity. He never said it. This is a name which was made up by people in a particular period of time, in a particular place. Similarly, Judaism, again, this is a name given to a people, the Jews, from an area, Judea. This is not found in the Holy Scriptures, or what remains of the Holy Scriptures, known as the Old Testament. You don't find Moses telling his people that your religion is Judaism. No. You don't find him telling you. Zoroastrianism or Confucianism or the other religious systems, we find that their names, Buddhism, are named after individuals, people. And in fact, oftentimes they end up representing the worship of these people. So Christianity involves the worship of Christ. Buddhism involves the worship of Buddha. Whereas Islam, it does not involve the worship of any individual. Because, as I said, Islam is not the name of a person or a thing. And this is why, according to Islamic teachings, the name Mohammedanism is not acceptable. You will find this in the dictionary. You will find it in the encyclopedia. Westerners tried to put Islam within the same framework of the other religion, in that it was the following of a particular person and the worshipping of that person. But for Muslims, we reject the name Mohammedanism. It is not acceptable because we do not worship Muhammad at all. In any way, it is totally prohibited. If one worships Muhammad, he leaves Islam. So, the fundamental principle of the religion, as I said, is expressed in the name itself, Islam. submission to God alone. Now, the main message of Islam is that worship belongs to God alone. Submission is an act of worship, is the foundation of worship, and it belongs to God alone. This is the message. And this, Islam teaches, was the message of all of the prophets, all the way back to Adam, Moses, Jesus, Abraham, all of the prophets taught the same basic message, that worship belongs to God alone. It is expressed in the Quran, wherein Allah said, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهُ وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتَ. We have sent to every nation a messenger, a prophet, calling the people to worship God alone and to avoid the worship of God's creation, false gods. So this was the essential message of Islam, that worship belongs to God alone, and no one, no person, no place, no thing deserves that worship. It should only go to God alone. Now, when we look at the various religions, we find that they all have one thing in common. If we want to try to find out what makes Islam different from the other religions, because the other religions talk about worshipping God also, and the religions all talk about doing good. They call people to principles of righteousness and goodness. That's why some people say, well, really, there is no difference. It doesn't matter what religion you belong to, because all of the religions are talking about good. However, in fact, only Islam speaks about the worship of God alone in the pure sense. When Islam says, we worship one God, this one God is unique. He is truly God. Unique meaning that he doesn't share his attributes with his creation. His characteristics, they are not shared by his creation. The creator is the creator, and he has his characteristics, and his creation is his creation, and it has its characteristics. They are not the same. They are different. When we look at the various religions, what we find is that all of them share one common characteristic of worshipping God's creation. Only Islam teaches the worship of God alone. The other religions may say, we worship God. However, you will find when you look into the actual practices that they are in fact worshipping God's creation. For example, Christianity. When a Christian is asked, why are you worshipping Jesus? The Christian will say, I am not worshipping Jesus the man. I am worshipping Jesus who was God incarnate on earth. Sounds like they're worshipping God. But the fact is, Christians worship Jesus. They pray to Jesus. This is not what Jesus taught. Jesus himself
told his followers to pray to God. And he prayed to God.
But his followers, later generations of his followers, they were deceived by certain people who introduced false ideas into the teachings of Jesus, and they ended up worshipping Jesus instead of worshipping the one who Jesus worshipped.
Similarly,
if we look at Hinduism, and some may say, well, Hinduism, how does this even fit in the picture of worshipping God? Hindus believe in one God. In spite of the many images and idols that they have, they believe in one fundamental supreme being, referred to as Brahma. However, they believe that Brahma can take human and animal form. So they worship Brahma in the form of human beings and animals. So, though they philosophically hold that they are worshipping one God, in practice, in reality, they are worshipping human beings, animals, and bits of stone. Now, one thing we have to keep in mind. When people worship trees and sticks and stones and people, some of their prayers are answered. Because a Christian will say, well, worshiping Jesus is right because when I pray to Jesus, my prayers were answered. And the Hindu will say, worshiping Shiva or Vishnu is right because when I pray to Shiva, my prayers were answered. And somebody somewhere who's worshipping a tree will say, worshipping this tree is right because when I pray to the tree, my prayers are answered. For sure, this does happen. Because if prayers were not answered, when people worship trees or people or animals, etc., then people would stop worshipping these things. So we cannot use the criterion of prayers being answered as determining whether this worship is right or wrong. Because those Christians who hear of people worshipping idols will say that worship is wrong. It is not acceptable. It is against the teachings of God. However, they themselves also worship a man and hold that it is right because their prayers were answered. But also the prayers of those who worship the trees, the animals, the stones, etc., their prayers are also answered. The point is that it is God who answers prayers. It is the one true God who answers prayers. And this worship of other than God is not answered by the objects that are being worshipped. It is God alone who is answering the prayers. Islam teaches that, as I said, there is a clear distinction between the Creator and the created. God is God. When you make him less than God, when you make him a man, then he is no longer God. Some people say, well, don't you believe that God can do all things? We say, yes, we believe that God can do all things which befit him as being God. Anything which makes him not God, you say no. These are not amongst the things that we say God can do. Because it goes against, it's not something which is acceptable within the realm of the things when you say God can do all things. All things that keep him God. If something makes him less than God, then
there will be things greater than him. You know, philosophers who don't believe in God, they like to play with Christians and others who believe in God by proposing to them a question which creates confusion in the minds of those Christians and others. They say, okay, you believe that God can do all things. Can God make a stone that is too heavy for him to lift? You've got a problem here. When you say God can do all things, and you say, yes, he can make a stone which is too heavy for him to lift, then what in fact you're saying is that that stone will be greater than God. You see, and one of the characteristics of God is that he is the greatest. This is what we say, Muslims say in their call to prayer. Allahu Akbar. Allah, God, the one God, he is the greatest. There is nothing greater than him. That is one of the fundamental characteristics of God. It's when you make God a part of his creation, when you make him a man, then in fact, what you're doing is making him less than other men. Because when Christians made God Jesus, then according to their belief, other men came and killed Jesus. They were greater than Jesus. But God is greater than all. He cannot be killed. He is not a part of his creation. Muslims believe that God is distinct, different, not a part of his creation. And when you accept the idea that God is a part of creation, mixed him into the creation somehow, somewhere, some people say God is in everybody's heart. The heart, you know, is the temple of God. Or the soul is divine, is God, the part of God. These kind of beliefs, this makes God a part of his creation. And when someone was worshipping a stone, when you say to him, why are you worshipping the stone? And he says, well, actually, I'm not worshipping the stone, but I'm worshipping God who is present in the stone. Then you are stuck. You have to accept this as worship of God. But no, true religion has always taught that one should not bow down in worship to other than God. So, the fundamental difference, I said, between Islam and all of the other systems is that it alone teaches that God alone deserves to be worshipped. And this is something which is a part of our nature. We all know it. We all realize it inside of ourselves, that God alone deserves to be worshipped. God is not a man. He is not a stick and a stone. He is beyond his creation. This is something we all know inside of ourselves. However, our circumstances, how we were brought up, what we are emotionally attached to, has made us accept the worshipping of God's creation. And those of us that are involved in the worship of God's creation, we tend to fear letting this go because of what other people are going to say. What are my friends going to think of me? We have this fear, as though inside of ourselves we know, yes, Jesus is not God. Buddha is not God. Shiva is not God. God is beyond these created beings whom we worship. But as I said, our emotion keeps us trapped. That's why I said that for us to be honest, to honestly seek the true religion of God, then we have to put our emotions aside and look at
what is in front of us, what evidence, what are the arguments of the various religions, look at them intellectually. We have to look at them with the powers that God has given us, the intelligence that God has given us, the ability to reason, to determine with our own brain what is right and what is wrong. The other major criterion of Islam, which we say makes it the only candidate for being the true religion of God, is its universality. Because when we say that this religion is the true religion of God, it must be a religion which anyone can find anywhere at any time. That's what it has to be. Because if it is something which people can't find, only if they know about this or they know about that, they can follow it, then it's not universal, and it can't be the religion of God. Christianity depends on the belief in Jesus Christ, that he was the Son of God and God incarnate on earth who died for the sins of man, etc., etc. Now, all of the peoples of the earth who never heard of Jesus Christ, these people have no place in the scheme of things as understood by Christianity. Similarly with Judaism, Buddhism, etc., etc. However, in the case of Islam, one can be a Muslim without ever hearing of Prophet Muhammad. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon him and all the prophets. It is possible. Because the foundation of Islam is submission to the will of God, the one true God. So if a Christian in some remote area who has never heard about the teachings of Islam as taught by the last prophet, Muhammad, the last teaching lesson to Yabani, but he has the teachings of Prophet Jesus, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, okay, and he follows what is right of those teachings, submitting to the will of God, then he or she is a Muslim. That is Islam. And that is what makes Islam, as I said, universal, and makes it the only candidate for being the true religion of God. And this is not something that I'm making up. You know, somebody might say, oh, he's just making that up because he wants to convince these people that, you know, Islam is the best. No. This is something you can read in the Quran itself. There is a verse mentioned twice in the Quran to emphasize to the people this principle, wherein God says, verily, those who believe among the Muslims and among the Jews and the Christians and the star worshippers, those who are involved in any other kind of worship, whoever amongst them believes in the one true God and does righteous deeds, believing that he or she is accountable for what they do in this life, that there is a resurrection and judgment, they will be judged, such will inherit paradise. This is a paraphrasing of the verse, but if any of you don't believe me, you can read the verse exactly for you, word for word. This is the basis of the universal teaching of Islam. Abraham, Prophet Abraham, may God's peace and blessings be upon him, we believe was innocent. What he taught was Islam. All of his followers were innocent. There were those who submitted to the religion of God. They submitted themselves to God and they strove to do righteousness. Similarly, the followers of Prophet David and Moses and Jesus, may God's peace and blessings be upon all of them, we consider all to be Muslims. And that, as I said, is the universality of Islam.
Islam further teaches that each individual, when he or she was first created, when Adam was created, all of Adam's descendants were taken in the spiritual form and made to bear witness that God was the only one deserving worship. There was just one God. They were all made to recognize the existence of God. And when the child is born, the child has that inside himself as a part of his nature. And as such, the Prophet Muhammad has said, every child is born with a natural inclination to the belief in God. However, it is assumed